I thought I would start our conversation by seeing if I can dazzle you with a magic trick, which is pronouncing your name correctly. I want to welcome Andrei Sinitska to the Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. How did I do?
You did well. Thank you so much.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 18th year, number 908, Andrei Sinitska's Magic. Andrei Sinitska is an amazing magician now performing his show 52 Lovers every Wednesday night through June 2024 at one of my favorite Chicago venues, the Chicago Magic Lounge. Andrei is only one of a few magicians who has fooled Penn and Teller on their TV show, and I'll put links to those videos in the show notes, and he certainly fooled all of us on the press night that I was there, so I was thrilled to talk to Andrei and discover which secrets he was actually willing to reveal. It's so weird to interview a magician for the RSC podcast because, of course, the first thing I want to ask you is the thing I know you won't answer, which is, wait, how do you do all that stuff?
Well, I could actually answer that. I don't have problems with revealing secrets, really. The only problem is that you might have a problem with it because you would lose about 70% of the experience.
Right? Yeah. Well, and that was fun too. It was fun. It was great seeing your show, 52 Lovers. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is because I felt like I shortchanged you on the night because there were times where you would complete the trick and I would be too dazzled and stunned by what I had just seen to applaud appropriately and give you the response you deserve. Because your tricks are fantastic. And the other thing I love about your show is that it's so interactive because it really feels like you're making the audience do all the work.
Yeah. And that makes it fresh.
Is that part of the illusion? That we're doing as much work as we think we're doing?
Maybe. I'm not sure now, to be honest, because I've been working on this for so long that the origins of the effects are a little lost on me. But what you told about being a little stunned after every effect, when I performed at the Magic Castle, this is what happened to me. It seemed like they were politely clapping, but then someone told me, it's not that you wouldn't be great. It's just, I'm just trying to figure out what the hell just happened, you know? And I didn't really understand until this weekend when Jonathan Levitt performed at the Chicago Magic Lounge. And in the end, I wanted to stand up and applaud, but I was just frozen in my seat. I was like, wow, what the hell just happened? This was fantastic. And I was a little like paralyzed, you know. And I guess that's the feeling sometimes for someone in my audience, I guess. And it's wonderful. It's just like so rare for me, especially. Pretty fantastic.
I would imagine it's like when I see a comedian and they tell a joke I haven't heard, you know?
Yeah.
It is dazzling. Well, and it was fun to watch. So after I saw you live at the Chicago Magic Lounge, I did track down the videos of you fooling Penn and Teller three times. And it was fun. I mean, Teller's always at a loss for words, but it was fun to see Penn Jillette struggle to articulate the process he went through. What was that like? What was that like going on their show, and how much of an influence were they on you growing up?
Oh wow! You know what? I think that they were one of the first magicians I saw on TV. I clearly remember when they did the trick, when I believe it was a big truck that drove over, I don't know, either Teller or Penn. And I think that was when I was like 9 years old.
Wow. Wow.
And I'm 38 now. And yeah, they would be part of my career and inspiration forever. But preparing for the show, that is interesting. That actually, for me, that's one of my creative tools. You know, I know that Penn and Teller are going to see it. I don't care that much about the audience at home, to be honest. But Penn and Teller will see it. And this is a tool that also helped me when thinking about my show at the Magic Castle. And the same here, 52 Lovers at the Chicago Magic Lounge. I always want to make it better when I go to a space that I feel deserves more. And I know that Penn and Teller deserve the best, right? Because they do one of the best magic in the world. So I make those tricks better, and then it shows.
Right.
It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of preparation and rehearsal. But then you see that I spend some time working on it. And of course, quite ambitious as a person. So that helps with motivation quite a bit as well.
Well, and you
and
you incorporate a video humorously into your act, or at least into the presentation of your act. And the Chicago Magic Lounge is such a lovely space. I was fascinated by your sense of timing, and I'm wondering if there's a different sense of timing for the magic as there is for the jokes, or for the or for getting the audience to do what you want them to do at the right time. You're manipulating quite a lot.
What, you want to say that I'm a manipulator or what? No, yes, what?
A little bit. In the best way, you're conducting.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing about magicians is that we spend a lot of time trying to figure out what the audience think, right?
Right.
And we, yes, are trying to manipulate the thoughts. So we kind of lead you into blind, how do you call it, the dead end?
A cul-de-sac.
What awaits you there, yeah, in the end, is astonishment,
yeah.
Right? So, because when you have no other solution to, if you want to figure it out, when you end up in a place where you have no other solution how that could work, that's like, boom, okay, must be magic. So, right. Yes, we think about that all the time. And also, and that's interesting, people really want to figure it out, and sometimes they feel offended if they can't figure it out. And it's like, you're making me stupid. But you have to understand that we spend decades trying to figure out ways how to make this without a solution, like a bulletproof, let's say.
Right.
And we do it not to make a fool out of you, but to bring you back into the moment when everything was wonder, when you were a kid. And then, you know, we came to school and they told us that if we don't understand something, it's bad, and we have to learn everything so we understand how the world works. And then we're adults and we see something that we don't understand. So of course there's this trigger from school, it is bad. But in this case, you come to the Chicago Magic Lounge, which is a safe place for you not to understand how things work, just to enjoy it. Just to enjoy the feeling of wonder, because magic is the only art who can bring it to you.
Hi, I'm Guy Roberts, Artistic Director of Prague Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This fall of 2024, we'll be performing the special election edition of The Complete History of America Abridged in Illinois, Maryland, Virginia, Kentucky, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Colorado. We hope to have specific venues and dates up on our website very soon. And now back to my conversation with Andrei Shenitska, who realized he hadn't answered my question about the kinds of timing required to pull off the wonders of his show 52 Lovers, now playing Wednesday nights through June 2024 at the Chicago Magic Lounge.
So, three kinds of timing. Magic, comedy, and audience management, right? Yes. I have to be aware of all that. And the problem is that comedy destroys magic. Unfortunately, that's a fact. So I have to know at what moment the magic happens. And I can't put any comedy in that place. I use comedy to enhance magic, but in a way that... You know how there is this perception of misdirection that I'm going to do something here so you don't look here. Mm-hmm. But another thing to do that is to do something funny. Because if we laugh, we relax. Not only our body relaxes, but also our senses relax. And that is a moment when I can do something sneaky, which will enhance the magic in the end. But the moment when the effect happens should stay without humor, like humor as a joke, funny, haha kind of humor. It's ideal if it hits your emotions in a different way.
Yeah.
Because you don't remember what you saw, but you remember how it made you feel, right? And that's exactly how it works. So I have to be aware of comedy timing. I have to be aware of the timing of the magic and how I get there. And I have to also be aware of placement of these elements. Mm-hmm. And where what happens. Then audience management in my show is very specific and very important because, yes, the show relies on audience participation. Especially, there's a trick in the beginning where 10 people from the audience, it's this chain reaction. They all have little tasks on little cards that they get before the show. And they say, if this happens, do this. And then they create magic together. The show you saw, which was the press night, where all the people from the press were in the room, almost everybody out of those 10 people did not hit their cues, right?
I wondered about that.
Yeah. So I had to cue almost everyone. It was a little awkward. And unfortunately, the same thing, misdirection working against the magician. Because in the end, because so many things happened during that me and the audience interaction that many people had no idea what actually happened. So the show after, I had to cue just one person because I reviewed everything. I realized what happened. I realized why. I fixed it. And it seems like it's working now. Because I came to the Chicago Magic Lounge, which in its form is different to anything else where I've ever performed. And that is, you come here and you can order drinks, you can order nice food, like the bites that are really, really tasty. And there are magicians before the show performing for you. which is also fantastic. So you just enter the space and magic is everywhere. And then there is this one guy who many of the people in the room are not familiar with, who is giving them a card, telling them what the card means, what it expects from you, when to do it, and that. And after you get that card with that task that you're supposed to do at one point, a magician comes, you order another drink, food comes, and then in 15, maybe 20 minutes, your cue comes. And you're like, what? What did he say? What? Oh, but the food was so good. And my drink, that's my favorite so far. Oh, by the way, the thing that the magician did right before the show started, that was amazing. Oh, my God. So there's so many distractions, right?
Right.
They're super distracted. So I had to figure out how to clarify everything, how to simplify everything, how to come to them as late as possible, you know, before the show. And especially because there is, in the show, there's 20 of those tasks. So I have to also divide them in, these are important to make them clear, and some are not that important.
Right.
And with some, actually, it doesn't matter that much if they're fulfilled or not. So yeah, it was a little bit of trial and error. The error happened on the press night, and now it works.
Well, so. You got the audience back. I know that at one point I was going, I was sitting farther back, and I was going, wait, should I be doing something? Should I? How can I help? How can I help?
Exactly.
But this is why we have performances and previews, because and live theater, baby, it gets better every time we do it.
Yeah, I started studying theater acting to be a better magician.
Interesting.
So I studied theater back home in Prague for 3 years, and then I kind of struggled in the world of theater and film for 2 years, not really knowing what I'm doing. And then I went to Los Angeles to study at the Lee Strasberg and Theater Film Institute to learn how not to act. Right.
Interesting.
And then I came back home, studied Prague Film School for one semester. And then I worked with Prague Shakespeare Company for several months, actually. And then I decided to go back to magic fully. It was in April 2015, and I never looked back. The best decision. I think that after those 8 years, I already became a little better magician.
And your ability to improvise and roll with the punches, I'm sure, is born not only of the actor training, but of course all the hours you've spent on stage.
Flight time, yes, of
flight
course.
Time, yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's really the best advice I can give anyone. Just do it again and again and again in front of people. I'm constantly making this better because I see the potential. And I know it can always be better, and it will never stop improving.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. Andrei Shenichka's 52 Lovers plays every Wednesday night through June 2024 at the Chicago Magic Lounge. Go to chicagomagiclounge.com for more information. Then send us your magical secrets via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks, as always, to 53rd lover Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Kay Allison. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Guy Roberts, Artistic Director of Prague Shakespeare Company. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 908 2724ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Are you getting good crowds?
Oh, the people are great. You know, every time something goes wrong, it's my fault. The people here at the Chicago Magic Lounge are the best audiences. It's just, I have so much fun. It's so great. And luckily, the show is built. So if the beginning doesn't work that much, as you said, I can win everyone back by everything that happens in the second half.
You really do. And I'm thrilled that I got to see it, even when we in the audience let you down on the press night, because it's a fantastic show. And I'm so thrilled to get to talk to you about all of this. It's great. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.